Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word for Today with Reverend Andre Thompson.
Get ready for real talk, real life issues in the next half hour.
The next voice you will hear will be no other than Reverend Andre Thompson.
Well, good afternoon, and God bless you. This is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson, and I'm delighted to come in your home on the internet, wherever you may be around the world. This is the Word for the Day radio broadcast ministry, and I'm just delighted to be here today. We are honored to have a special guest, amen, Charles Clark, amen. And I want you to know that you need to get ready, fasten your seatbelts, call somebody, let someone know. This young man, he is a book author, motivational speaker, and the founder of C. Clark Inspire. That's right. Also is a radio personality at Real Talk Inspire Radio. So what can I say? I mean, the resume is impressive. The man is doing some awesome work. We're going to bring him out shortly. I do want to let you know that I want you to be in tune. That's right, be in tune. The rest of this week, we have some great topics we want to talk about and deal with concerning the body of Christ. And today, I'm just excited because we're starting out the week, and we had a wonderful weekend. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Amen. I trust and believe that everyone has had a wonderful, amen, holiday or weekend, should I say. Well, enough of me talking. I'm going to go ahead. Amen. I'm going to bring out our guests on today. Good afternoon. How you doing there, Charles?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you doing, Apostle?
Man of God, I'm highly favored, extremely dangerous, in love with Jesus. I can't ask for no more. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'm just so delighted and honored to have you here on today on our broadcast. And, you know, I thank you for answering the call.
Amen. Amen. I'm only doing what God chose me to do and being obedient. And it's an honor for me to be on this wonderful, phenomenal radio show as well.
Amen. And, you know, as I was doing this little read-off concerning you, you're a book author. You have a book that you wrote and a book that's coming out, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, I have a book that's coming out, and I'm working on my second book as we speak. But the book that I have coming out is called Chain Breakers. It's about breaking from the flesh into the spiritual realm to finding the purpose that God has for us and destined for us to fulfill the mission so we can understand the true divine power of the kingdom and to enhance and, you know, enforce what we need to inform in this world for people so they can get to know that God is not, you know, difficult to deal with. God is a loving God. He's light. So I want to make it more comfortable so they can understand.
Amen. Praise God. And, you know, I know we had an opportunity to speak briefly last week, you know, for a little while and everything. And I know a lot going on out there in Boston and everything. And I mean, rather Baltimore. And you know, there seems to be a trend, or should I say, there's something that's been going on for a long period of time that's been hidden, swept underneath the carpet, so to speak. Now it's mainstream. The veil's been pulled off with the violence and the crime and everything. And I know you do a lot of motivational speaking, too. I just want to touch upon on that there. How have you seen yourself being able to impact some of the brothers and people in areas that have been affected?
Well, you know, what I learned is, especially from my transition and my testimony, being a fatherless child from the age of six, you know, losing my dad to a fatal accident, being in the drug game and you know, being around, you know, various gangs and then doing my part as being the puppet for the devil. One thing I learned, especially upon incarceration for almost 8 years in federal penitentiary, is this right here. Accountability. As a motivational speaker, we always tend to realize, or me personally, but from what I've learned from other mentors, is that we always give accountability for the things that we've done wrong or accountability for what should be done right. I think it's more to where if we be more accountable for the things that need to be changed. See, when you take accountability for something, you're saying you're taking responsibility. And that's the beginning of the transition of speaking the great things that need to be spoken, you know, to the world to impact and change them. It's about activation. We all always activate or stereotype various of people through color, through gender, even through religion. And we tend to realize that the true message that needs to be spread is being compromised or jeopardized because we are forgetting the basic foundation, that's brotherly and sisterly love. So
Amen.
What I want to do is I want to let people know that, yes, the church is a great place to fellowship. It's a great place to define God. But everyone is not going to find God there. So should we penalize the unjust and unsaved because they're not committed to going to church to find God? Or do we bring it to them? Because the real leaders will bring the gospel or God or any kind of ministry to that person. So it's just, you know, when I look at the world today, especially when I was in Baltimore, and it's great that you brought that up, because usually when I go to the battlefield back in the day, it's because I'm prepared for battle in the ungodly way, in the way to where, you know, I'm destroying my own kind, destroying the community. Now, because of God and because of me listening to people who gave me a chance, people who seen the good in me, who activated my spiritual DNA, I was able to go on the battlefield to minister, not to do drive-bys with guns, but to drive-bys by speaking wisdom, by speaking ministry with several people. I think I mentioned to you, we had a conversation, Pastor Patrick Lewis and his first lady and another minister from New Vision of Eden Ministries. They are very well respected, and we got together, and we went down there, you know, right there with the riot, actually the picnics of it. And to see that, you can still smell the tragedy there. You can still, you know, see the rubbles and, you know, what was destroyed. And it was very emotional. However, it was a reality check because a lot of people tend to, you know, have their opinions and, you know, they criticize. You know, they were talking about Freddie Gray, but he was a thug, he was a gangster, he was a drug dealer. So, but did that give anybody the right to take his life or make him suffer the way
right.
he suffered?
Justification, because, exactly. Yes,
exactly. Because guess what? If Freddie Gray would have been a little bit longer, or was given a chance, and been stereotyped by the world as we know it, he could be doing the same thing I'm doing now, impacting the world. What if I would have died as the person I was?
and you know that's such a powerful statement there, because you know, if he had been, but because he was a martyr, so to speak, he became a martyr. You know, I really believe that he's a martyr because by his death has opened up many doors, a lot of communication. You know, I mean, you know, we have lost many, many folks from injustice.
Amen.
You know, but one of the things that you have said, you know, and I definitely commend you, because you know it takes a lot. It takes a person to not look at themselves, but look at the situation, to go out there and want to minister, to speak to others on behalf of God, on behalf of just who you are in your heart. And this is something that, you know, I got a text this morning because there's a brother that's about to do 10,000 men in September. So what I'm seeing in the spiritual realm is that a lot of us are coming together now for this cause. And one thing you said about the church, which I also like, was that you said about being outside the church. You know, it's good to be in the house of God, to get, if you're broken, if you're messed up, to get medicated, do what you got to do to get it right. But now it's time to go outside the four walls, and that's the theme that we have on today. But with that being said, what I'm going to do now, man of God, I'm going to move out the way, we got people on the line today that are calling him, you know, and folks are on the internet, praise God. And
amen.
For you that just joined us, my special guest is Charles Clark, amen. And once again, he's the book author, motivational speaker, and the founder of C. Clark Inspire. Also, he is a radio personality at Real Talk Inspire Radio. So right now, I'm going to just move out the way. Man of God, I want you to speak to the people, what God's placed in your heart, to talk to the folks on today.
Well, first of all, let me say that I like to give God the glory. He gets the first praise. And to everyone out there who's been supporting me since day one, to all the listeners out here, to the new family, I love you so much. Thank you for embracing me and inspiring me to do what I'm doing. What I really want to do is not to misdelegate on a racial or a political standpoint from Baltimore or any kind of the case that has been placed or as a tradition in this world. What I want y'all to know is that it's beyond the race card. You know, you have black on blacks, you have Latinos on Latinos, you have Caucasians on Caucasians. There hasn't been really no riots or you know, protesters for that. But anytime a mixed gender or a mixed color is involved in a homicide or a murder, all of a sudden, you know, we have to burn down cities. We have to, you know, do other unjust protests to get a point across. It's a shame because the fact is that we have to look at the part of humanity. Humanity goes far beyond the color. It's a creed of us understanding that we are built under God's unity. Yes, we all may disagree on certain things, not see eye to eye, but it gives us no right or pleasure to be involved with anything that is uncharacterized as being unethical or being disrespectful towards one another. And just not with Baltimore. Baltimore is just a wake-up call, but this has been happening all over the world. You know, coming from where I came from, as I said before, I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. Each day I learn to grow. I learned to enhance my wisdom, what God has put in my heart, and also, too, what God has put in other people's heart to help me navigate to my purpose. And I always come to realize one thing, and this is just keeping it real. We all have choices in life. We really do. To the point to where you have to start looking at yourself and say to yourself, as a parent, as a friend to a friend, from your professional level of understanding to your spiritual side of understanding, unity has no competition. You cannot compete if you're unifying together. In other words, when you come together, you can't look at yourself and say, well, I'm with you, but I'm thinking differently. You know, you can't have a divided spirit or a divided heart or a divided mind thought, but then you say you're rocking with your brother, you're rocking with your sister, because what happens to each other is asleep. And that's going to be in a spiritual war or a physical war. And the biggest thing we have to realize is the youth. The youth, we are the nourishments to our youth. They are the seeds. And they're like a sponge. And whatever we proclaim, whatever we present, they're going to use that as, okay, this is the tool. This is my approach to getting my point across. We have to revise, re-edit, and rethink on how we present certain things around the youth. In other words, is this right here. We have to come to an agreement saying and stating that through our faith and our trust in God, our voices together will be heard loud enough to where something will change. If you go into a room, and you try to sleep and somebody making all this noise and, you know, you're trying to dodge it, you're trying to put earplugs in something, and sometimes that doesn't even work. Finally, you get up, you're disturbed, you're like, wow, okay, you know, I got to do something else. I can't deal with this. It's the same thing how we have to approach ourselves in the streets to the government, so to the advocacy that is needed to make the laws and make the justice system more valuable and more ethical to what we need to do. And the reason why I say this is because if you scream loud enough and you use your voice loud enough, come together, they will hear that unity. They will hear that restoration of coming together, not just a community, not just a city, but as the world. And when they hear that, they're not going to be able to sleep. They're not going to be able to relax on some of the decisions that we know is unfair to us, our educational system, our financial way of life, this everything all around that stabilizes who we are as a person, our lifestyle. So if we come together through voice, through harmony, through ministry, things can move. But nobody don't want that, though. Well, I didn't say nobody, but the average person doesn't want that. It's just a special select of people to come together to make an influence on the majority of the people or the selective people to understand this is how we need to do things. So God chooses certain people for certain things, such as myself, to bring the core that is needed to people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that anybody is wrong on how they feel, how they think, as far as situations or thoughts. Believe me. I've had times where I made wrong decisions. But what I'm here trying to tell you, I want to encourage you, not judge you. I want to make that very clear because that's the problem of the day. Everybody wants to judge somebody, but nobody has a gavel in their hand. And there's no gavel greater than the gavel that God has. And even to this day, God is not even judging no one until judgment day. So how can we judge right now when he's the greatest of the greatest? He's the highest of the highest. To embrace each other. I tell people all the time, Apostle, I don't care if you smoke crack. I don't care if you're drinking. I don't care if you're homeless or whatever. I love you. This is coming from Charles Clark. I love you. I embrace you. That crack, the cracking and alcohol, those are temporary poisonous things because Satan knows that you have an ability of the anointing to become powerful and do damage to his plans. So he puts the punch of things in this world to make you fall victim and fall slave into what he wants you to do. But God didn't create you to be a crackhead. God didn't create you to be an alcoholic. God didn't create you to be a criminal or whatever. He didn't. God created you to be a warrior, to be victorious. But as again, as we say, though, it's a test of time. Sometimes we have to go through things because how can you really connect with someone if you've never been through it yourself? Now, used crack before, but I've used other drugs, you know. I've partied. I've been out there and act wild and crazy. But guess what? Now that I'm on the other side and transition to the other side, I can really connect with those who are doing it now. And the time that I did in prison, the things that I went through in my life, I feel as though that I've already done it for the generation to come. And for me to prove that, for me to show that and pay homage, is that I'm out here in the streets. I'm out there talking to these youngsters, even the families, and telling them, Jesus, this is not your limit. Break the barriers about through hope, through faith, knowing that you have been anointed, knowing that your purpose is not here. It's beyond here. So we have to step out the flesh because the flesh cannot begin to understand what the spirit can do. And that's a fact. I mean, the Bible is word. So to everybody that is listening right now, I'm here to tell you, people is going to judge you. People is going to talk about you. People is going to, I mean, there's everything in the world. But don't you fall victim to that. If you answer and respond to what people are telling you, then you're going to become that. Instead, ignore it. Ignore it through good measure. Not through fighting. Not through shooting. I mean, no, none of that. What you need to do is to say, hey, okay, that's what you see. But my God sees different. And what my God sees different is my validation. So if I'm validated through what my God sees, then what you're saying is blind to me. Because I see none of that in what you see in me. And once you can acknowledge that factor, and once you can see in yourself that, you know what, I'm not perfect. Could be right now, but I'm on my way. Progress is the best. As long as you're moving forward, that's all that matters. And I try to tell people, a speed bump ain't made to stop. It's made to slow down. So sometimes you have to slow down. God give you a different direction. Sometimes things happen in your life. Say, God, why did this happen to me? But if you were to move faster than God, then guess what? You could be 6 feet under. So God has a special way of doing things. God is very intelligent. I mean, he has to be. When you wake up in the morning, how many of us really give thanks? I mean, there have been plenty of times where I get up in the morning and I just say, okay, let me get my schedule ready for the day. Let me go get it, make this money. Not even acknowledging God, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. Thank you for putting breath in my life. Now when I do it, you know, it's like, wow, God really showing favor. He shows favor just waking up, but he shows even more favor and more appreciation when you honor and appreciate him. And he'll put you through some tests there. It don't mean he's trying to punish you. God is disciplining you. A tribulation is a training session for what? Triumph. God speaks life. And he spoke it to me. And I'm here to tell you, everyone out there, you know, we all have a different situation, you know, different cultures, you know, different traditions. But at the end of the day, I assure you, if you put your investment into God, you won't go bankrupt or spiritual bankrupt, brother. So we have to keep on moving, keep on praising and coming together. And when you see those kids out there doing something, I know everybody has a parent, so it's not so much in your place, you know, to try to raise somebody's child, but I look at it as raising somebody's child. I look at it as just ministering, coming together. I have a beautiful 4-year-old daughter about to be 5, Apostle. And, you know,
yes, sir.
That's my seed. That's my child. But if someone gives my daughter something that's as special as wisdom, something in her spirit, I'm not going to be like, no, what are you? That's my child. I'm supposed to do that. God put angels in certain places, you know. So it's always good to have other people involved in that circle who can help empower our children. You know, I mean, if that's the case, then, the youth, the deaths in the youth communities, where they kill themselves at the age of 12 or 13 and being struck on drugs or whatever, wouldn't be so high. So we ask ourselves, how do we minimize that situation? Do we do riots? Do we burn in our city? Do we kill somebody in our point of cross? No, we come together. We hold hands. We look up to God and say, God, we are ready for the spiritual warfare. We are putting on the spiritual armor. So my mission that I'm chosen for, restore God's unity. That's my mission. And we can restore God's unity. We can begin to see progress to move forward. So instead of the kids or the children burning down their cities or killing each other, They can burn down the city of the devil. They can take on the devil and destroy the devil. That's the one we're supposed to be going after, the enemy, not ourselves. So that's pretty much what we have to focus on. I mean, it's a process, but in due time, as anything that God has put in our life, sometimes it takes time to make things victorious.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, man of God, you know, you touch upon so many different things, and I really believe that, you know, it's so essential that we do step out. The leaders, they need to be out there in the forefront, and we need to go out there in our communities, and we need to reach out to the young people. And like you said, there are so many people that are out there so young. I was telling someone just the other day that it's a shame that the older people are outliving the younger people. You know, I have some of my daughters that live in Yonkers, New York. And, you know, and the situation out there is just like some other places around in the states, of United States, around the world, where, you know, young people are not even turning 21 years old. I'm going to tell you something. The streets are flooded with so many guns. You got so many young people with guns. And they don't even care. They shoot you. You know, they have all these games and things. So, you know, they become so desensitized. And now the body of Christ, now as leaders, we have to always keep God in the forefront and go out into the enemy's camp. And I like something you said about being on the offensive. We are supposed to go into the enemy's camp and set loose these captives. Who are the captives? The ones that are still bound by uneducation, bound by sin, bound by a lot of different things. How do they grow if no one doesn't come there to show them, teach them, and give them something to look at, some hope? You know, and you know, one of the things, I don't know about you, but I've been talking to so many young people. I go out there myself. So you and I, we have something in common, because, you know, I did the drugs at one time. I did them on both sides, and I had to go do some time, and I didn't do a whole lot of time, but I did a little something. But the point I'm trying to say is that we all got a testimony. You know, I worked for the corporate, been on the good, on the bad, everything. God had to bring through something at a young age, you know. But yet, I'm still here. And one of the things I learned was that a lot of these young people, when you talk to them, you ask them, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Some of them can't even give you a good answer. Some are still saying, well, I'm thinking about being a rapper, you know. And one of the things that caught me, Charles, was that I asked a brother one day, so you want to be a rapper, so what's your message? So what kind of story you want to tell? You know, and what he said to me was, I don't know. You know,
that's the breaking point right there, Pastor. And that's a good question. And, you know, that's ironic, because I talked to a young guy here about 2 weeks ago. Well, it was at Walmart, and he was saying, he was having a conversation on the phone, and he got the phone, and he was like, man, I tell you, man, finish these church people. So I pretty made sense to his grandmother, his aunt, somebody, and you know, he started engaging in conversation with me. And I said, well, what do you think is wrong? You know, I want to actually hear it, because I mean, how are you going to know how to approach and change something if you don't ask where the favorite problem lies at? And he said, because they make you feel so uncomfortable, like they already judge you and send you to hell before you get to the church. This from a 13-year-old.
Wow.
So right there, God, you say, wow, you know what? Let me edit my blueprint. You know, when we stop saying you have to wear a certain attire to church, you have to speak a certain language or whatever, then that's when people start saying, you know what, I want to give myself, I want to get closer to God. So some people just feel like that they are already condemned before they can even hear the first church song that comes out. You can't do that. I mean, who's the judge? Ain't nobody perfect. Everybody has their own problems, their own shortcomings. But we have to take those shortcomings and we have to enhance stuff to increase them. And if we don't do that, it's going to get worse and worse. But you think that Baltimore riots, the last time it's going to happen, if we don't come together, it's going to be something worse. Baltimore is just a wake-up call.
Amen. And, yeah, you know, and I totally agree, you know, that the neighborhoods need and the systems and officials, they need to get to a place where they have some type of thing, system set up where there's going to be some checks and balances, you know. And one of the things, you know, even myself, like next month, you know, we're doing this outdoor community event or concert, as we would call it. But the whole idea was to bring, you know, people of every nation together, not only every nation, but also to bring some officials out there. And I reached out to like governors and mayors and reached out to the White House as far as doing the proclamation. And one of the things that I wanted to do was, you know, because I believe that the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as a, as a person start to think of themselves, if, you know, and a long time ago when I was in school and I was in college, the professor always said, you know, you got to have a positive affirmation. In other words, your self-talk needs to change. I think Lester, he was the that had married Gladys Knight back in the day. He was a motivational speaker to say you got to stop your thinking. Well, I really believe that a lot of people and young people, their minds have been corrupted by all the wrong things. They've been breeding and eating all the wrong things that cause them to stray and go the wrong direction. So they're needs to be instilled. That's why I like the idea that, you know, you're going out there, you're doing the motivational speaking, you know, we're going to be make impact in different areas. You know, it's so important. You know, I didn't want to take up so much time, but I did want to say this as well. You know, there was a place where I used to bring some people with me. It was an after-school program, so to speak. It was a community center with after the kids got out of school. From the ages from 8 years old to 19, they were court appointed to come there, but these were all the kids that were in gangs, you know, and if they didn't show up, they were going to face regular time in jail or whatever the case may have been. And you know, so we would come there and do motivational speaking and bring in different people. Our young people need to see that there are doctors, there are lawyers, they already see Obama, but they need to see that there are people out there, same color, that is doing great things and not just thinking that, well, if I live in a particular hood, that my lifestyle is all about hustling on the corner, buying some cars, getting high, doing the thing with the females, and then that's what I do, and that's it. When I die, I said I'm going to be blood in, blood out. They need to understand that they can be covered by the blood of Jesus and that they don't have to bleed out in order to live, you know. They don't have to worry about dying, and when they do die, let them die in the hands of God and under God's grace, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of praying to be done, man, God.
Amen. It's power in the prayer. And real quick, I want to say this real quick, as far as you were talking about, you know, with the youth and stuff and you know, most of the things that is offered out there, especially in the city communities or whatever, you know, the drug dealers and the gang bangs, the shootings. I don't want to get much from the political standpoint, although I am, you know, connected and learning, you know, in the political platform. But I will say this real quick. You know, all this government money that's getting transferred, you know, through the politicians, and, you know, I'm not saying every politician is dishonest or whatever, but for the main thing, I will say this, is that when you look at these cities, why are these small mom-and-pop stores that have been there for so long have not been able to get some kind of grant or something offered to them to rebuild and enhance their businesses so they can give these young kids their first-time jobs and teach them how to work and earn a good living instead of turning their stuff down and offer them a small amount of money to build a corporate America type, you know, setting. Why is there more money being spent into expansion of global, you know, telecommunications corporations and you know, everything in corporate America has nothing to do with empowering our youth. Where's more youth centers, more after-school programs, so they can receive the same education, so they can improve themselves instead of being educated by the streets and then falling victim to their own demise?
Yeah, and you know, man of God, we run out of time, but you know, you're so true in what you're saying. You know, I have to tell people a lot of times that, see, when I came up, we was building up black businesses, not that I'm being racist, but we were building up black businesses because there was a lot of folks that were like Koreans, whatever, were coming out of our neighborhood, and they would be there, open up bodegas and things. But one of the most important things was that the people, they perished for the lack of knowledge. And see, while they were making decisions at City Hall, folks were not going to City Hall to participate to see what was going on, what were the changes going on, and even concern like the grant, like you were saying, the businesses and things of that nature. You know, there's so many resources, but without knowing the resources, then people, they seem to fall and they don't grow. Why? Because they have not been exposed to certain things. We are at 5:30, but I do want to say to our audience that's listening, praise God, that this is Charles Clark. Amen. He is a book author, motivational speaker, founder of C. Clark Inspire, a radio personality, Real Talk Inspire Radio. You can contact him at charles.clark70@yahoo.com. Once again, that's charles.clark70@yahoo.com. Amen. And I want to let you know that our listener on today, praise God, join me on tomorrow. We have another special guest coming through. If you'd like to support us, amen, as we're getting ready to raise, amen, more funds. We're trying to get more Bibles to pass out coming up for next month's event. Please, man, woman, man of God, just go to our website at www.citywidecog.org. That is www.citywidecog.org, or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, make out your check or your money order to Citywide Church of God, P.O. Box 163, Stuartsville, New Jersey, 08886. Once again, that's Citywide Church of God, P.O. Box 163, Stuartsville, New Jersey, 08886. Amen. You might email us at info@citywidecog.org. Man of God, I just want to thank you. I wish we had more time. Praise God. Amen. But this is a topic that we need to do. May have you come back on again and do a second portion of this, man of God.
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, the audience. Also, I want to give a quick special shout out to some of the two people that really had impacted my life way before I even known my call and purpose. To Alani Bowser and Mabel Bowser, they are very two important factors in my life that have definitely showed me that I was more than what I thought I could be. So I have to give credit and, you know, due diligence to them too.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I know we have some folks listening. I don't know how much time we have before they cut us out, but I wanted to make sure everybody had your information so they wanted to contact. You can go on Facebook and also type in his name, Charles Clark. Amen. You see the picture, so you see the man. Praise God. Those that are listening right now, we got about maybe, I don't know, about 5 minutes. If there's anyone out there like to speak to our guest, just press number one on your keypad, amen. Press number one on your keypad, and we'll be notified in the studio before we get out of here, amen. If anyone would like to speak to our guests. But I do want to thank those that have been listening. Man of God, we have to definitely meet, you know, September 19th. We're going to be up here in the Lehigh Valley area, Pennsylvania. I believe it's going to be in Allentown. We're going to have 10,000 men. 10,000 men coming together, praising God. And we this is a big movement. Amen. Ralph Witcher, he's one spearhead in this thing, and we about to go tonight. Supposed to be going out there with all the pastors in the area coming together just to start praying. Praise God. So I'm going to definitely be posting you and giving information. I'd love to have you come up here. We got someone from New York, 718, that's on the line. Praise God. Good afternoon. How you doing there? 718-839, you're online.
Hello. Hello, good afternoon. Yeah. You can't hear me?
Hello. Amen. What's your name? Yeah, what's
my
your name?
My name is Edith Oda. I'll be reading some of, you know, Charles Clark stuff on Facebook, because I just got me a Facebook page, but I'm just so glad, you know, I come from the same area I came from, using drugs and everything, and just one day, I just had a shining light over me. It kind of scared me, so I was glad when I got a Facebook page to get people to help me, guide me, learn me, teach me, get me back into the Bible, because
yes.
Like God gave me back my wisdom,
amen.
My knowledge, my understanding. It's just, I'm just so happy, and it's really him, y'all, real people, because I never had a Facebook page until now, because I was just tuned, but I wanted to. But I struggle so hard, And God finally gave me my eyes. He opened them back. So I'm so happy. So I'm searching on Facebook.
Amen.
Now I'm running into certain people. I'm finding out it's real because when I first started scanning, I'm dropping the phone. I'm like, oh, this is really real. But then I said, I'm searching, being that I know I'm alone. I'm by myself. I'm a last four girls.
Woman of God, I just wanted to say
it's
this,
just
woman of God.
Inspiration.
Woman of God,
amen.
I want to say this here. You know, God knows what you need, and He's always on time. Even when we think that we're by ourselves, God, He never leaves you nor forsakes you, you know. And, you know, one thing, I know Charles can identify with this. They always say, real, recognize real. A lot of people can talk about something, but like you said earlier, if you haven't lived it, come on now. Come on now. You know what I mean? If you haven't lived that thing, you can't really talk it. You know what I mean?
I don't even.
Yeah.
I'm so changed, but now it's just like, oh man, I don't have no choice but to walk.
I can tell you real quick what happened real quick in your life. When you felt like that your foundation was breaking down, it was because God wanted to rebuild who you're supposed to be. That's who you are now. You are anointed. You are an inspiration. You're going to do something great in this world. I want you to speak it. I want you to stay in the prayer. I'm telling you, when I put my stuff on Facebook, when I do my motivational speaking, I'm speaking to individuals like you. And you are the same person like me and the apostle. We're all the same. We have different measures, different outlooks on things. But at the end of the day, we are all trying to survive. So we can do what God wants to do. And we realize that God is our survival. And
yes.
You know that's life at the end of the tunnel.
And it scared me because I know. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so happy ever in my life. I don't miss sodomized from seven. My older sister just passed away. I wouldn't go. God brought her to me. Everything is just happening. It's like a good, calm feeling of light. I told my family because there's people on here, Edith Griffin, she's my family. I'm like, is it really happening? Thank you, y'all.
Amen. We want to thank you for joining us on today. Amen. And please reach out to our guests, amen, on the Facebook page. Inbox them. Amen. You can email us at the word for today. Amen. If you would like to get some material, praise God, in regards to some tracks, some information, whatever you may need, just inbox me at Pastor Andre Thompson, or just go ahead to my email address. You can email me at info@thewordfortoday.org or citywidecog.org. I'll be more than happy to send you some information. I'm going to give you the easy one, citywidecog. Okay, info at citywidecog.org. I'd love to see you some literature. All right. Well, listen, we got to get ready to get out of here.
Charles, could you just text it on my line when you be sending stuff?
I got you.
All right. Thank you. Amen. It's real. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
I'm not alone. Somebody understand me. I thought I was
Charles,
but I'm not.
You got to get ready to get out of here. And I'm excited for the young lady that's on. I wish we had more time, but they're coming. We got to get ready to go. Charles,
amen.
Thank you so much, man of God.
Thank you, Charles.
Job, one world, one God. Let's do it.
That's right. Thank you.
Amen. All right, man. Well, we got to be out of here. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And remember, beloved, that God loves you, so do I. Kingdom blessings upon you and your family. Join me on tomorrow at 5 p.m. God bless you. Take care now.